Greetings in the name of the one who wants to make us whole, the one who offers wholeness for us, and we don't need to go to the pool of Bethesda. Did I say that right? Bethesda. Anyways, I hope we're here this morning and we're enthused and stirred in our heart in regards to the things of God. God has certainly done his part so far in our gathering here as far as stirring us without getting into that pool that we read about. But by his word and by what was shared, and the word of God does that, especially if we're looking for that in our life. The text, scripture text for the message this morning is Psalm 90, and I'm going to read that. Psalm 90 is the text for the morning's message. Now, my King James Version Bible has for the heading of that psalm, it says, Moses prays for the knowledge and sensible experience of God's good providence. And I always liked that heading on top of the King James Bible. I think it's such a balanced statement. And as I would understand, this is the only psalm that Moses wrote. And I'm not sure when he wrote it, but possibly during his time in the wilderness or shortly after, or I'm not quite sure. But I think our prayer should be the same, that we pray and ask God for knowledge and a sensible experience of God's good providence. So reading that psalm, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. All right. That certainly is a fitting prayer for us this morning. I have titled the message, Life, a Story That is Told. And getting the idea for it or the phrase from it from verse 9 where it says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. I don't necessarily plan to preach on the brevity of life, shortness of life, although it's interwoven here and possibly will be in the message too somewhat. But we already heard, and Nathan alluded to, and I'm not sure, might have been in the Sunday school class too, about the time of the year we're in. You know, we have just closed out 2021, and we've just stepped across the threshold of 2022. And so, as man, as mortals, we measure time using hours, days, weeks, months, years, etc. And we tend to put emphasis on time. But what is time like to God? I'm not sure. Sometimes I've probably been guilty of saying time is nothing to God. I probably would be a better statement to that would, you know, would fit that. But yeah, I'm not sure how God looks at time, but certainly not the way we do. Like, okay, so here we are, and we've always probably, most of us who adults have heard about New Year's resolutions and maybe made a few ourselves and so forth. And we know that most of them are not even worth the words that it takes to express them, just like Abner said. I don't think God is impressed with that. I don't think God is impressed with New Year's, certainly not with some of the New Year's Eve parties. In fact, God's heart is probably saddened by that. So, 2021 is finished. The chapter has been written. Probably most of us could do a compilation of 2021. But not so concerning 2022. None of us sitting here this morning knows what 2022 is going to look like, what it will hold for us, where it's going to take us, what it's going to do. We don't know. After the passing of 2022, whether how many of us will be here, maybe all of us, maybe some of us, maybe a few of us, will have stepped across another threshold. We don't know those things. But I think it is good for us to think about those things, not just at the beginning of another year or the end of a year, but we ought to often think about those things. Rules of a Godly Life would tell us that's one aspect that we should often think about is on death there's nothing more sure. And things that surround us. There are certain things we can do from a biblical perspective as we step forward in this year, things we should be doing, things we should be thinking about, and preparing ourselves. If we're prepared to live according to the Bible, then we're prepared to die. Those two should go hand in hand for us as Christians. But as far as the year 2022, as to writing that chapter, our lives will be writing something. And as I referred to the title, you know, it seems that's about what life is. It's a story that we're writing. And what is your story? What are the chapters? What do they look like? Well, they may never be recorded as such, not by man. And that's okay. I don't know that any of us would have such a great chapter to write. Certainly glad in my own experience, a very, very embarrassed. I'd be very embarrassed, very ashamed of some of the things that would be in my chapter. I'm referring primarily to before I was a Christian, but believe me, I've made a lot of mistakes since that. The Christian journey, it's been a journey beyond anything that I've ever experienced, and yet there was many things that I did not expect, had maybe not totally prepared for, and that I've had to work my way through. Is that good? I think so. Because I'll be referring to portions of scripture here of this that we read. And as I think of that, verse 15, it's kind of jumping ahead of everything here, but he says, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. I believe for the spiritual heart of a Christian, the afflictions, the things that have been brought into our pathway, if we have responded rightly, they are for our good. Now, Amos read that scripture to us this morning from Romans 8:28, that all things work out for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't say some things, but it says all things. So for the man, or for the individual whose heart is after God, those things are all there. And just like it says here, make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us. While we're in those afflictions, there's nothing delightful, usually not anything delightful about it. But can we reflect back on things and experiences? And they're just, you know, you could write a book about maybe the things that you've experienced. But can we honestly look back and say that those things were good for us? They helped us. They helped us grow. They did something for us spiritually. And I think it's important that when we think of 2021, you know, we might say, well, all the things that have happened, some of them I'd just like to take out. And I would. There have been some heartaches. There have been loved ones passing on. Yeah, we would remove some of those things, wouldn't we? But can we look back and say, as the psalmist says, Moses said here, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. They have been good for us. Now, as I think of the moving ahead in life, and I don't think God has these certain breaking points like we do, like the end of the year and the beginning of the year. Maybe he does, but I don't picture God really anything special about the end of the year or New Year's at the beginning of the year. And I don't know where that idea really comes from, other than it's just that maybe we do. Man has maybe always been inclined to look back and with regrets and saying, well, I'm going to resolve. I'm going to do different. This is what the new year. This is my life. I'm going to change my life. It's good to have those desires, but as Abner said, it's going to take more than just sheer self-effort, especially when we talk about things that we're enslaved in, things that have, you know, we have habits in. It's just, you're just about sure to go down in defeat if you're just trying to do those things by yourself, sheer determination and so forth. There are certain things we can do that will affect 2022. There are other things that we may not have much of any control over. And that's why I like, as it says here, Moses praying for a sensible experience of God's good providence. The providence of God. There are things that we, you know, we name them, they come under the divine providence of God. And probably many of those things we don't have control. We can plan, we can have goals. I think we should have. But even that is no guarantee of the outcome. We're not guaranteed the outcome of the goals and the things and the plans that we have. Now, because simply God may choose a different path for us, and He often does, chooses a different path for us than what our goals are and what we plan for. Now, the time of youth, I thinking of, and admittedly, the last several days, I was thinking of, you know, coming out of a year and going into a new year. Not that I think one has one more power or has some special power or anything, but you think about life, and as you go on in life, you know, especially the aging process, you reflect on life and you think on life and you think ahead too, probably a lot more, or in a different perspective than you did when you were a young person. So, thinking of the time of youth. And it does, only seems like a short time, just like it says here, that we spend our years as a tale that is told. It just seems like a tale that is told. You know, it's how fast life goes in the brevity of life. So, but the time of youth is often a time of anticipation of what's ahead. I know when I was the age where many of you youth are here, it was an exciting time. I probably had a lot of plans and thought of a lot of things I wanted to do and wasn't sure where all it was going to go to and whatever. But I was not a Christian. That should and certainly makes a lot of difference in what our plans are and what we're thinking of and how we see the future, or it should. I don't think there's anything wrong with the time of youth, thinking ahead of what you'd like to do and have some noble pursuits and certainly spiritual pursuits, things that you feel that God would want you to do. And but always be open to the fact that God may choose to bring something different into your pathway. If you don't have that mindset, if you don't have that part of your framework in your mind, then it's just going to be a lot more difficult when things work out, or when your goals are not met or things don't work out. Now, I have a question for you. Some of us, a number of us are older, certainly not where you young people are. So what does, I'm taking myself as an example, what does a 68-year-old grandpa have to look forward to? What do I have to look forward to? What does an aged person, an older person have to look forward to? Other than, I would add, other than probably health issues, days of life coming to an end, maybe sooner than later, I don't know. So does that sound like something to look forward to? Well, we can dwell on that. But in answer to that question, what does a man my age or older or even younger have to look forward to other than maybe difficult times? I'm talking about in the physical sense. But I have something to tell you. I'll answer that question myself. I think as a 68-year-old grandpa, I have a lot to look forward to. I have a lot. There's a lot there to look forward to. And I'm going to tell you just in one simple statement. I'll make one simple statement, and I want you to remember that, you young people, so when you get to where I'm at, and where some of the older ones, you think about that. For a 68-year-old grandpa, the best is yet to come. That's a fact. The best is yet to come. You may think, oh, I'm glad I'm not that old, and I'm glad I don't have the health issues he or she does. Let me tell you, the best is yet to come. It is. You see, probably, well, not just probably, but I look at life, the story of our life is kind of like a field that we cross over. We have to cross this field. At the end, at the other side of the field, we can call this, it's glory is there. There's glory. But in between, from where you're at and to get to that glory, there's a battlefield there. You're going to have to cross that. Well, I probably have crossed a lot of my battlefield already. And I'm not saying that I've done so well in battle. That's not what I'm saying. But the best is yet to come. It just simply is. And I'm talking specifically about the spiritual aspects of life, which that's really what matters. That's what's everlasting. That's what endures forever. You know, if I have, and I claim this morning, I have God as my Father, Christ as my Savior, and a home in heaven. What could anyone have that's more precious than that? What could anyone have that's worth more than that? I don't know of anything that's worth more than that. You believe that the best is yet to come? Now, it's there for all of us, you younger ones, whatever your age is, that's there for you too. But, you know, if you live a normal life, you're not there yet. You're not there near as close as what I am or some of us older ones are. Now, we don't know that. I'll hasten to say we don't know that. You may get there before I do. Many a young person is snatched from life just without warning. I remember that one of the ministers in the church where I grew up as an Amish boy, I do remember one phrase that he used to say. He would say it in German, he'd say it in Dutch. He said, "Der alt Mensch muss sterben, der Jung kann." So interpreting that would mean, the old must die, but the young can. You understand that? When you get a certain place in life, the aging process takes you. But the young people can die too. You can die. It doesn't take long to die. Let me tell you, it doesn't. It doesn't take long to die. So, but remember, the best is yet to come. I want you all to remember that. So when you get to where I'm at in life, or when you get to where it looks like you may be approaching the threshold of eternity or glory, remember, the best is yet to come. Now, isn't that something to be excited about and look forward to? I think it is. I just don't know of anything else. So I have a lot to look forward to. You know, besides the fact that I'm aged where I am and have my health issues, I have a lot. There is much. God has provided everything we need. Now, I would like to point us for the rest of the message here in what we read here in Psalm 90. We'll look at a few of these scriptures. We won't do an expository on it, of course. But we have some rock-solid direction and comfort for us. And that's for every one of us, whether you're young or old. For example, if we look at verse 1, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Now, you can look at other versions, and they put it more in our everyday language. But basically what that's saying is, God has always been there. Father, for your fathers, your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers, God has always been there. And he will always be there. Isn't that a rock-solid anchor for us? As we think of 2022, if you want to think of just a year ahead, but moving on in life, that's what Moses is saying. The knowledge and sensible experience of divine providence. God has always been there and he always will be. I don't know how many times in Scripture, in the Old Testament and some in the New too, that it refers to God, and it gives it a present tense expression. We say, like when God came to Moses, for example, there in the wilderness, he said, "I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Not, "I was the God of them." "I am the God of them." You know. And there's a number of things that really brings out. But the one thing that the point for us here is this morning is that God was there, God is there, and he will always be there. That is good stuff. That's something we can lay a hold on. And he will be there for the coming year, for whatever that may hold for any of us. We can depend on it. He does not change. He is the everlasting God. And it goes on there and says in verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." We, from time to time, will talk about or read about or even preach about the creation and so forth. Here it says, before all that took place, God was there and from everlasting. He will be there when the world folds up, as Peter speaks about and other scriptures too, about in Hebrews, you know, how these things will wax old, and as a vesture thou wilt fold them up, but thou remainest. So that same scripture says, but thou remainest, thou wilt ever be there. What would you want? What could we have more than that? That a God that does not change, that he's forever the same. He does not change. We don't have to try to figure out what he's going to be up to. What's he going to be like next year or 10 years from now? No. We don't know what's going to take place and how he will move, but that doesn't change his immutability. That doesn't change who God is. The attribute of the fact that God is forever will be God. That, beloved, is rock solid, I think, this morning. It's something that's rock solid that we can build on. I have a cousin that we've been close to over the years, and he's currently on his deathbed. His daughter called me yesterday, and she was weeping and said, "Dad is just about at the end." And she said he held up his, we gave him his cell phone, and he looked at his cell phone, and he pointed at your name on there. And he's had his health issues for the last number of years, beginning about the time that I had my journey with cancer. And so we became extra close. We shared a lot about what we have to look forward to, and we encouraged each other and so forth. And here I am, obviously. God has touched me, and I'm doing well health-wise as far as I know. I don't know for how long. I don't know that wasn't my decision, that was God's decision. But we have something to encourage us on, and we have things that are rock solid to help us through those things. We just do. And there's a dwelling place. It says there's a dwelling place for the people of God. The Almighty Everlasting God always was, always will be, never changes, a dwelling place for all who put their trust in him. For generations, God's faithfulness has always been outstanding. And we refer to that again and again. When Joshua got to the end of life, and he spoke to the children of Israel there, spoke about a number of things. I think it was Joshua, I'm pretty sure it was Joshua. But the one statement that he made, he said, "There has not failed one thing of God's promise to us." Wait a minute. You look at the history of those people and the carcasses that died in the wilderness, and only two of them were able to get over in the promised land. And yet, Joshua, the man of God, was able to say, rightfully and truthfully, "There has not failed one thing." I think any of us, If we're spiritual people and we look at the Word of God, we can say that. That's not saying we haven't come short in many places, just like they did. But God does not fail. And I just appreciate the rock solidness of that so much. What would we do? And as I mentioned, my cousin and I, we encouraged each other many times over the phone and to hold on and what we have. And it's just certainly so wonderful. Hebrews 13 verse 5 is the verse where it says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As you move into 2022 and beyond, if God gives you life, remember God is always, he will always be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you, even though the days may seem dark. It may seem dark and it may, maybe God will even seem distant. Verse 3 here in our scripture that we read says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men." I think there's one of the translations says that God says, "Ye mortals, you must die." But then he brings back another generation. And I marvel at how the generations come and go. So we have these, I think you understand what I'm saying. We have these young children getting up having devotions for us and sitting with the youth up here. And we've been here now for 15 years. And yeah, I just shake my head and say, it's just something how time goes. But life is a story that is told. What's your story going to look like? You know, you have a lot to do with what your story of life is going to look like and what's going to be written. You have a lot of control. I mean, there will be acts of divine providence that you won't have control over. But by and large, you have a lot to do with. We are, a point I want to make to you this morning, we are writing our life story. We should be thinking about that and taking it very serious as we think of 2022 and beyond. If the Lord tarries and gives us life, what will be said of us? What legacy will we leave back? Our life story may not be written by man, and yet it is recorded by God. And that's what really matters. Man can write all kinds of things, and often they're not all that factual, some of them, when man writes a story about someone. But not so with God. Our life is recorded by God. We have the scripture there in Revelation 20, 21, where it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." To think about your life being recorded. The books were opened, it says. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Don't think that nobody is in writing your life story. Maybe it's not here. Among us, but your life story nevertheless is being written and recorded. And we have that familiar saying, "Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I think that is just a tremendous, profound statement that we need to keep in our minds continually as we travel on. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me give you an example of that. Most of us here as adults, maybe all of us, we know of D.L. Moody. Maybe you're different from I, but I've, over the years, looked things up about D.L. Dwight Lyman Moody and his ministry and Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and so forth. But I think probably most of us, put it this way, if you've never heard of D.L. Moody, raise your hand if you're an adult. But anyways, I have a point that I want to make here with that. You know, the story is told, D.L. Moody had a brother, and the story is told about D.L. and his brother. D.L. Moody's brother said that I want to make a name for myself. Supposedly, he said that one day. I'm going to build me a factory. I'm going to be known by what I do. This morning, and D.L. Moody, in contrast, this is just one of the things, there's many things, of course, that are recorded by him in his life walk. But D.L. Moody, in contrast to that, was supposedly sitting as a young man in a meeting, in an evangelistic meeting one day. And the evangelist said something like this. He said, "It remains yet to be seen what God can do with a man that is totally committed and totally sold out to God." And D.L. Moody supposedly looked up and said, "Lord, I want to be that man." Now, he wasn't trying to make a name of himself. But getting back to the point, the contrast between what D.L. Moody's brother said and D.L. Moody's life, you know, asked the question, or said, we probably all have heard, most of us, I expect, maybe all of us as adults, have heard of D.L. Moody. What D.L. Moody said and what his brother said, today, my point is, today we know D.L. Moody, but we don't know his brother, do we? You get the point? We know D.L. Moody, but we don't know his brother. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. One more scripture there in Matthew 6. I would just like to remind us what Jesus said there as we think of living our life and writing a story. And we want to write a story that we need not to be ashamed at the day of judgment when the books are opened. That's what we all want, isn't it? Of course it is. We want to be healed. We want, like the lame man, when Jesus said, "Wilt thou be healed?" We want to be made whole spiritually. But I just want to remind us, because we are so prone to go after tangible things and go after money and success and so forth. It's just the way we are. We do that. I know a young man, he's about my age now, but I knew him for years. I knew him when he was a little boy. None of you know him or anything, so it's nobody you would know if I tried to explain it. But he grew up as a young man. He was very aggressive in the pursuit of business and money and so forth. And he made the statement, and this was years ago when we were both young men. He made the statement one year. He made this statement. He said, at the beginning of the year, we talk about resolution. He said, "I'm going to try to make $1 million this year." And that was, quite a few years ago when most of you were still small and maybe not even born somebody. As far as I know, I think he did. I think he would say he did. He made $1 million that year, which would have been several million for today. But let me tell you about that young man. And this young man was from a plain setting. Today, I don't think he's happy. In fact, him and his wife they've taken counseling. They have been back and forth together. The last I know, I don't think they're able to live together. Now, you know, I think of laying up treasures, like Jesus said, "Lay not up treasures for yourselves." Matthew 6, we have the scripture where Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where neither of these things," he goes on and spells them out, "are you found there." And he goes on to say, just a very simple statement, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. It just works that way. Now, the young man that I mentioned, he really did make an honest effort to turn his life around and would have said, at least to a degree, that he's experienced salvation. But the years of his aggressiveness in pursuing treasures of this life had left such a deep mark on him and have left so many rough edges that his wife was just almost like, "I just can't live with him." And he's tried so hard to change. So there's many needs out there today. It's not just the people from Hollywood or Silicon Valley. It comes much closer to us than that. comes right sometimes almost in our midst. And so, all right, I'm going to bring this to a close. I'm just going to refer back again to what we have to look forward to, whether you're 68 or 16. We have everything to live for and to die for. I'm just going to read a few verses from a hymn that I think is so beautiful. I don't know if we sing it here or not. I don't think we do. It goes like this. Give the lyrics of the first verse and then the chorus. And I think about this probably quite often. As I rest at the close of a long, weary day, and I think of the trials that have passed on my way, it seems I can hear a small voice say, there's a golden tomorrow just over the way. And the chorus goes like this. There's a golden tomorrow just waiting for me. When in peace I shall rest, how happy and free. There'll be no more sorrow or heartaches for me. In that golden tomorrow, how happy I'll be. You think I have something to look forward to? You think you have something to look forward to? Everything is there if you want it. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that because Jesus lives, we can also live. And we have that golden tomorrow to look forward to. And we have everything to look forward to, irregardless of what our journey of life is and what our age is and where we're at in life, that we have everything to look forward to. And it is because of your great love to us and what you have given us. We have this living hope. Father, help us as we face the coming year, that this living hope would be very much alive and would shine in our life, in our hearts. And that nothing, as we heard this morning in our devotions, nothing can move us away. That we can be more than conquerors. Nothing can move us away from the hope we have in the Lord Jesus. And in the life to come, we pray in his name. Amen.